I think there are, and I think I don't want to be discouraging about that. In my lifetime, I grew up in an Episcopal church in Charlotte, North Carolina, that taught me that segregation was the will of God and quoted the Bible to prove it. Now, my church in North Carolina has an African-American bishop elected by the people of North Carolina. And I would guess that there are not more than 10 or 11% of the Episcopalians in North Carolina who are African-American. So this man, Michael Curry is his name, had to be elected by a majority of white people. Now, that's enormous progress in one lifetime, to go from a segregated church to a church that has an African-American as its only bishop. In the another area, I was raised in a church that taught me that men were superior to women, quoted the Bible to prove that, and acted it out. Women were not allowed in my church to do anything liturgically. Women could not serve on any governing board, could not represent the congregation in any decision-making function. And today, my church has 40% of its clergy who are female, 15 of our bishops are women, and women are in every area of our life. I think that's an enormous step forward. That's enormous progress. When I was a kid, I was taught that all other religions were pagan religions or evil religions, and especially the Jews, and so it was okay to hate them because God hated them. And anti-Semitism is a great gift that Christians have given to the world, to the destruction not only of the Jews, whose destruction has been terrific, but I think also the destruction of the soul of the Christian church, because I don't think you can hate people and act out prejudice without killing yourself in the process. Now, the last time my church revised its prayer book in 1979, before we published the Good Friday liturgies, we got a panel of rabbis together and asked them to look at this liturgy and if they discerned any hidden or unconscious aspect of anti-Semitism, please to point it out, because we no longer want to be feeding those things into the bloodstream of our society. Now, that's, again, an enormous step forward. And the homosexual battle, you know, when I was a kid, homosexuals, I didn't even know we had homosexuals. That was a word I hardly ever heard in the South. But when I did finally understand that we had gay and lesbian people, I accepted the definition that was given to me by my church and by my culture. Homosexuals are either mentally sick people who should be cured or pitied, or they were morally depraved people who should be oppressed or punished. And I grew up quite comfortable with that definition. And the Bible was, of course, quoted, and I can tell you all the texts that they used to justify that. Today, I've lived long enough to see my church elect a gay man to be the Bishop of New Hampshire, to confirm his election with a majority of the votes of our bishops, our priests, and our lay people in General Convention. And there's a great debate about it, but that's because they lost. You know, of course there's a debate, but the great majority supported that man. And when I retired as the Bishop of Newark, I had 35 out-of-the-closet gay and lesbian clergy serving churches in the Diocese of Newark, and 31 of them lived openly with their partners, and they were treated as couples. And they were wonderful people, I must tell you. And I never had a complaint about sexual misbehavior against any gay or lesbian priest as long as I was a bishop. And I can't say that about my heterosexual clergy. I'm grateful to say I didn't have many, but we had some difficulties with heterosexual clergy who seemed to violate the boundaries of their professional lives with women in their congregations. But I never had any difficulty with my homosexual clergy. Now, those are just four areas where I've seen enormous progress. Does that mean that the battle's over? Is there no racism left in our society? No, it's still present, but I think its back has been broken. I regard the religious right as, in some ways, a deeply racist movement. To me, they're nothing but the George Wallace vote of yesterday, perfumed, and they're now turned into family value Republicans. They were